Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Woo! Glory to God. Hey! Hallelujah. Now I want you to look at somebody next to you and say, do you feel new? Do you feel reset? Because God is charging you right now with a new season. Will you walk in it? Come on. Will you walk in it? Will you walk in it? Come on. I want you to do something new. I want you to say something new. Do something new. Do something new. You see, what happens when God gives you revelation? Revelation is God's authorization to step into a new dimension. When God gives you a revelation, you get a new word, a new revelation from God. It's God giving you an invitation to step into a new realm. See, what happens is we get new revelation, we get a new word, we get a new teaching, but then we do nothing new. It's like if I give you a brand new car and I say, here are all the keys. And you simply put those keys down on your table and take the bus and take the train. Like you don't got a new car, then you'll never experience the new that's available for you. Revelation is a key. The Bible says that when Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Bible says Jesus responded to him and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Then after that, he started talking about keys. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when you get keys, it's your responsibility to take advantage of what those keys give you access to. So we pray for things to happen for us, but then we don't do any, we don't take any steps. We don't take any new steps forward. We just simply do the same old stuff we used to do. We pray the same prayers. We don't try to break into new territory. So God is saying, I'm opening up a new door for you. I'm opening up new realms for you. This is a new season for you. It starts now. Now, when you get a word like that, you have to respond by acting accordingly. When a new season comes, you don't dress in the winter like it was in the summer. All right? You change your clothes. You change your garments. You have to adjust to the newness. Come on. To look at your neighbor and say, once again, there is something new that you just stepped into. Are you going to claim it? Come on. I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it. Just reach up and stretch out and say, Lord, I receive my new season. Wow. I thought I was going to stay on this series longer, but I feel a shift already. I feel that God is already resetting you. Woo! Glory to God. Come on, there's a new anointing in this room. Come on. There's a new anointing that's getting ready to pour out on you. Come on, there's new mantles that's being released on us in this season. Whoa. Hallelujah. I told you, there's new mantles. How many people know there's new realms in God? That you didn't see everything that God had to show you yet. Anybody want that? Anybody want to experience the more of God? Come on, he said, I, the Lord, I do a new thing. I do a new thing. Bijan, God says he's doing a new thing for you, son. Just stand up, Bijan. Receive. Hallelujah. Father, I loose the newness on Bijan's life right now. I declare that new doors are opening for him. New opportunities are opening up for him immediately. Thank you, Father, for showing him that you are the God not only of yesterday, but you are the God of today. You are the God of today. And I just break off whatever it is that's trying to keep him stagnant, that's trying to keep him looking backwards, keep him looking in the rearview mirror. The Lord says, Bijan, you cannot drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. No one can drive looking in the rearview mirror. You have to keep your eyes forward. The Lord says, keep your eyes forward. Keep your eyes forward. new opportunities, new doors, right in your hands. God says, I'm going to present it, and I'm going to give to you these new keys for this season in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a prophetic anointing in this room. Come on. Hallelujah. Anybody want a word from God? Anybody want a word from God? Y'all quiet. I don't think you understand how powerful a word is. One word changes everything. One word changes your destiny. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. He's alive. He's living. He's in this room right now. Oh, glory to God. 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 Somebody worship him. Worship, worship. Come on, I want you to enter in to God's room today. Enter into his room. Come on, you fasted into a new place, so I want you to now step into that place. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, however you know how, just worship him. Come on, we're in his room today. We're in the Father's room. He wants to speak over us. If you can, just pray in the Spirit. Just do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over everything. He's Lord over every circumstance. He's Lord over every issue of your life. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's King. He is King. He is the King of Kings. The God of Gods. He's a mighty warrior. He's great in battle. He sends one word. He sends one word and heals our diseases. Wow. Hey, his word is a sword. His word penetrates even the thickest of darkness. The light of his word penetrates that darkness. Just shit today. Just receive where you are. Whoa, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Jesus. Come on, receive. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We praise your name, God. We worship you. We exalt you. There is none besides you. Lord. Lord. Yes, just let him minister to you. You need to say. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Thank you, Jesus. To the book of Amos. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Amos. Hallelujah. You are in the presence of God. You are in his presence. David said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." He said, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. At this time, we just want to instruct our children, and H4G Kids is starting right now. So if you have a child under the age of 12, you want to send them to participate, our sister Nakima, she's in the back. She's directing them. All right, let's open up to Amos chapter 3. God wants to speak directly to some of you. I'm going to give you guys time at the end to prophesy to each other. So I want you to stay sensitive to what God wants to say. I feel like God wants us to speak into each other's life before we leave. Said Amos, right? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Bible reads, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed, or except they be agreed, or except they be in agreement? Can two walk together unless they are in agreement? Can two walk together unless they agree?" What's the answer to that question? No? Can two people walk together unless they walk together in agreement? No. Because if we're not walking together in agreement, or if we don't agree on where we're going, what our destination is, then more than likely, we won't last. We won't make it to where we're going. And it's so important that we ask, that God is asking this question for us today. Because what God actually is looking for in this season, what the cry of heaven is in this season, the concern of heaven, is that there are people on earth that's walking in agreement, not just with each other, but that's walking in agreement with Him. That the number one concern that heaven has over us and over the church and over the entire world is that He is looking for a people that will come into alignment and into agreement, not only with themselves. We've seen people come together in agreement with themselves without God. You guys remember the story of the Tower of Babel? When these people who came together for the purpose of building a tower to extend, to reach to heaven, and they were so unified, the Bible says they were of one language, they were of one mind, they had the same spirit, they had the same agenda, the same purpose in their heart, and they were so together, they were so aligned that God said to Himself, if I don't stop these people, there's nothing that can stop them from accomplishing what they decided to go after. And it was showing us the power of unity, that even if we unify for the wrong reasons, God is as almost handicapped, in a sense, from preventing a people who are walking together from not accomplishing what they set out to do. And so now, if we understand the power of unity, even if we don't agree with God, but we agree with one another, and we decide to do something on our own, God won't stop us unless He sovereignly intervenes. Unless He sovereignly chooses, there's nothing He can do. Right? So that's one thing you love about God, is that He's sovereign enough to allow us to do what we want to do. But He's sovereign enough that if He wanted to stop us from doing what we wanted to do, He can still do it. I thank God for His sovereignty through His grace, that there were moments when I was doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing, but then in His grace, He sovereignly prevented me from going any further. I don't know if anybody got that testimony in their own lives. See, grace is sovereign because He sovereignly chooses whom He will be gracious to. Amen? But yet, in that same sovereignty, He gives us free will to allow us to choose to do whatever we want to do. But the will of God for His church and for the world He created is that there will be a unity. Say unity. That when two walk together, when they share this agreement, how can two walk together? There are two ways, and I want you to write this down. When two walk together, they have these two things in common, or they're sharing these two qualities. Number one, they share the same vision, and they share the same priorities. How do you know when two people have come into agreement? Is that when they share the same vision, and they share the same priority. Now, we're in our series called Reset. I'm going to show you how this connects. But when we talk about vision, we're talking about having the same destination, or we agree on where we're going together. We have the same destination. We have the same end in mind. And then number two, they have the same priorities. And priorities, it means that they agree on what's important. Okay? When two people don't agree on their priorities and their vision, they won't walk together in agreement. And it's important because we understand the vision part, that okay, we're walking together because we want to both go to the same place. But a lot of times what happens is as people get on this journey together is that when they don't share the same priorities or they don't value the same things, what begins to happen is, well, this person says, I value, let's say we're on a road trip, and I want to go to Ruby Tuesdays, and you want to go to Chipotle, right? And for me, you value Mexican food. That's important to you. Let's say that's very important to you. And for me, I can eat anywhere. It doesn't matter where I eat. But you say, I know I need Mexican food when I'm on the road. What begins to happen is that leads to confrontation. Disagreement, because you have one priority and I have another one. And as simple as that, marriages end because of that, right? Something that I deem to be important, something that I deem to be valuable, to that people leave God because of that. We saw last week the rich young ruler. He didn't want to part ways with the money that he stored up all those years. When Jesus asked him to walk with him, and he said, if you want to walk with me, you got to give that stuff away. He didn't do it. Why? Because his priority was in his treasure on earth. He wasn't concerned about having treasure in heaven. Remember that? And so, what God began to tell me is this. God said, I want to walk with you. Or I want to walk with my people. Or God wants to walk with people. God wants to walk with man. And he wants heaven to walk with earth. But the reality is there is this disagreement or this misalignment between us and God and between heaven and earth. So hence this is why when Jesus told us to pray, he said to pray that things will be in earth as it is where? In heaven. That there's supposed to be this alignment, this congruency taking place. So much so that when we walk together, the Bible says when we're in agreement, there's nothing that can stop us. Right? So heaven is concerned with us right now in seeing us aligned, that there is an alignment between God and man and heaven and earth. And we're going to walk with God on the same road, with the same pay, on the same page. No division between us, having the same focus. But I want to just leave this thought with you today, that God actually wants to reset our lives back to the place where he originally intended for us, and that was to walk with him in life. Not to live for him. A lot of Christians are living for God. Thank you. A lot of believers are living for God, but they're not walking with him. And that's not the same thing. All right? Christianity, you've been told to try hard to live your best, do your best for him. But you can spend your entire life doing that and not ever be in agreement with him. So the Bible says there will be many people in the last days who prophesy to cast out devils in his name, and he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you, because you didn't walk with me. You can work for God and not walk with him. Okay? So there needs to be an agreement in our spirits, an alignment in our hearts to say, I want to know exactly what the will of God is for me, and I want to partner with God in this season. I don't want to miss God. I don't want to work around him. I don't want to work before him. I want to work with him. Amen? And when we do that, we prosper. It's impossible to fail when you walk with Jesus. But the minute we step outside of him and do our own thing, we end up taking on our own responsibilities, our own burdens that he's not responsible for. God is only responsible to manage and to supply the needs for what he has given you responsibility for. Okay? Now, how do we know this? How do we know that God wants us to walk together? That God wants man to walk with him. God wants heaven to be aligned with earth. Genesis 1, verse 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created what? Heaven and what? Do you realize that in the beginning, he created both at the same time? He created heaven and earth. Do you know that God existed before heaven? He created heaven when he created earth. That beginning was not God's beginning. He lived outside of time and he created the beginning. And there's two passages of scripture that shows us what happened in the beginning. Genesis 1:1. And then we have John 1:1, right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the what? The Word. Which means that any beginning that God gives you must have those two things. Whatever God is beginning a thing in you, it must have heaven and earth, and it must have the Word. Anything God begins includes heaven and earth. Not just heaven, and not just earth. So some people just focus on heaven, but have no applicable, practical way of working that truth out in the earth realm. And so if you're only heavenly minded and you don't know how to bring forth that truth into the natural, then you won't be beneficial to the world around you. But God not only wants you to be heavenly minded, he wants you to be earthly minded. He wants you to be able to join the two, heaven and earth, coming together, working together at all times. Our world just wants us to be earthly minded. And we just depend on science, and we depend on our own strength, and we depend on our own intellect. And some of you take pride in how good you think you are at math, or how good you think you are at science. But none of that matters, because the wisdom of God makes the wisdom of this world look like foolishness. Okay? God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's superior to our way of thinking. And so we got to learn how to give God our way, give God our minds, give God our hearts, give God our intelligence, give God our imaginations, so that he can produce in us a greater reality than we can possibly produce for our own selves. All right? So we have Genesis 1:1 that says God created us. He created heaven and earth together at the same time. Amen? So one of the things you got to constantly ask yourself is, how much of your lifestyle can you say is in agreement with heaven right now? How much of your conversations are aligned with heaven's? How much of your thinking is in agreement with heaven's? Because when we start talking about aligning ourselves with God, we got to understand who God is. Malachi 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. I am the Lord. God says, I am the Lord. I don't change. All right? So if we're aligning with God and we're coming to a point where we want to see heaven come to earth, that's our mission, right? That's our vision. Every Christian is called to pray that. All right? We've been praying things Jesus never told us to pray for. The one thing he told us to consistently pray is that things will come, will be on earth as it is in heaven. And so if we're learning how to pray and we're learning how to align ourselves with God, then we got to ask ourselves, okay, how is this going to look? How is this change going to happen? How is this transformation going to take place? For starters, we understand that according to Malachi 3:6, God does not change. So I'm not expecting God to change his way or his nature for me. But on the other hand, I have to change in order to align myself with him. You know what it said? It said that things will be in earth as it is in heaven, which means that heaven isn't changing either. But earth is changing because things have to become as it already is in heaven. See, how can the two walk together unless they agree? I have to agree that God is already fixed on who he is, and I got to agree that heaven is a reality that I can live from. Okay? Are you guys following me? God doesn't change to align himself with us, but we have to change to align ourselves with him. Okay? Let me show you another verse. Psalm 119. How many people enjoyed that psalm during our fast this week? Psalm 119. It's a long, by the way, I didn't tell you it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. So if you thought you were going to read it in one day, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Look at Psalm 119, verse 88. Hallelujah, verse 88. Hurry up. The Bible says, New King James Version says, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of thy mouth, or your mouth. Revive me according to your love, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Isn't that interesting that the Bible calls God's word a testimony? Which means that every time God speaks, it's a testimony waiting to happen. When you hear the word of God and apply it to your life, it's a testimony waiting to happen. Because God's word cannot fail. It cannot return to him void. It must accomplish what it set out to do. But look at the next verse. Verse 89, because it says, forever, O Lord, your word is what? Settled where? In heaven. All right, so if we're going to align ourselves with God, we have to be aware that number one, God never changes. And number two, his word never changes. Which means that God is not a man that he changes, but we change. The Bible says that we must be conformed to the image of him and that we're changing. We're going from glory to glory, right? So there's a transformation that's taking place. That the only constant in life is change. We're always changing. But the thing is, what are we changing to, right? So now here it is. He says that when we adjust our way of thinking to understanding, well, the Lord doesn't change. Number two, his word is settled in heaven. His word is already settled in heaven, but now he wants it to be settled in earth. And we're talking about resetting our lives to God's frequency, God's priorities, God's purpose. The word reset, I don't know if I defined it yet for you, but reset, all reset means is to be set to its original purpose. So if you're taking notes, write that down really quick. When we talk about reset, we're talking about setting something to its original purpose, its original settings, okay? Like I remember when I was back in the day, I had a Nintendo. Anybody have Nintendo here? All right, I had ColecoVision first, then Nintendo. Y'all don't even know what ColecoVision is. I had Nintendo, but Nintendo, it had two buttons on the console. One was the power button, and the second one was the reset button. And then if you played it enough, you'll realize how crucial that reset button was when you played it. You'll be on level 6 playing Mario Brothers, and you're jumping over a wall, and then you just get stuck. The music is still playing, but you ain't going nowhere, all right? The game is stuck, and then you got to push the reset button to start over. And they didn't have memory cards back then. So whenever you reset, you can run right back to the beginning, and you have to start all over again. There were many nights I cried. Because I was on the last level, only to find out the game was stuck. You said it did it on purpose. But the thing about resetting is this, is that whenever you reset, it brought you back to the beginning, so you got a chance to start over again, right? And notice that you needed to reset when it seemed like stuff was stuck, right? That's why you realize that in areas in your life when it doesn't seem like it's progressing, it seems like nothing, it seems to be working for you, it's unproductive, you need to realize, I need to reset something here. That's the sign. And you know what? It's an economic term for reset is bankruptcy. You see, when people are have money issues and they realize that the money isn't working for them and they need to get a second chance to start over, no matter how many investments they've made, they got to come to a point in themselves to say, you know what? I got to reset. I got to reset. Donald Trump reset it 3 times, right? 3 bankruptcies. But look at that. When he reset it, he owned property in Manhattan, property and in other parts of the world. But then he realized, you know what, I got to give all those things up if I expect to try to regain it all. See, the warning about reset is this. When we talk about reset, the warning is the things that you've probably invested in for how long you put your time and you put your energy in, you might have to lose it. You might have to walk away from your business. You might have to walk away from that relationship only to start over and have a fresh start. You see? And that's what the Bible says, bless all the poor in spirit. When you are poor, when you acknowledge that you're poor in spirit, you're willing to say, I'm willing to bankrupt myself from everything that I think I know, spiritually, everything I've invested my heart in, I'm willing to walk away from it because once you bankrupt, it's not the end. It's the new beginning for an opportunity to reclaim your prosperity. Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it away, you'll find it. Come on. So if you're going to learn how to walk in the consistent, sustainable reality of flow of God's favor, of God's provision in our lives, we have to learn that reset is our friend. Because there's going to be moments. See, when something is set, it doesn't need to be set again. When something is set right, I should say, it doesn't have to be set again. I'll say that again. When you set something up properly in your life, it doesn't have to be set. When a foundation is firmly planted for a building project, That building, they can build as high as they want because the foundation is set. But if there is just a crack in a foundation, and you're building on that thing, what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to collapse. No matter how nice you know how to dress up the roof, no matter how pretty you make the front door or the windows, it doesn't matter. If that foundation is not set properly, forget about that building. See, that's what our lives look like when we don't pay attention to what it's set on. When we don't walk in agreement with God, that's what our lives look like. It's cracks in our foundations that our lives can never be built upon. So look what happened. If forever the word is settled in heaven, and God wants earth to look like heaven, then what we ought to also do is settle our lives on that same word, because now that gives us a foundation that can last forever. Come on. But if I'm settling my heart on things that are temporary, if I'm settling my lives on trends, if I'm trying to settle my lives on fads, then what happens is when the next season comes, I'm outdated. When the next season comes, I'm irrelevant. When the next season comes, I'm old. Come on, God wants us to consistently thrive in every environment we enter into. But that comes when we settle our hearts on the two things that can never change. One, the nature of God, and the word of God. Amen? I'm almost done. So look at somebody next to you and say this. You were created to walk with God in partnership and agreement. Find somebody else. Say, you were created to walk with God in partnership and alignment. Let me give you these next three verses. Jump with me to Genesis really quick. Genesis chapter 1. Because it's important. If resetting is all about coming back to our original setting, we have to know what the original setting is. See, we're not like a video game. The computer is designed that when you push reset, it already knows where to start back from. But we don't know. We got to understand where the beginning comes. We got to understand where our beginning is, I should say. And this is where we find it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, then God said, let us make man in where? Our what? Image. Let us make man in our image. So that means when God created you, church, God created you to look just like God. All right? Because we are walking together with him. He created you to look like him. And what else? He said, according to our likeness. So he wants you to look like him and he wants you to live like him. And let them have dominion over the fish, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Jump down, let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So we know that God created us to look like him, to function like him, to live like him. That's the original setting. That all God is doing right now is restoring us to that place. That right now we don't look like him, we don't live like him in all of our ways, but he's restoring us back to that place. And that's the alignment that's taking place. Look at how powerful this truth is, that God wants us to walk with him. Look at verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man. You listening? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God breathed into man and man became a living being. So do you want to see how close God intended for us to live? Is that when God gives us the very breath that he's breathing, that the same air that God inhales and exhales, we're inhaling and exhaling it. That every time you breathe, you're breathing the very air that God himself is breathing. Hallelujah. Come on, let's breathe right now. That's God's air you're breathing. See, we have this thing that God is so far from us. That God is so we're here and he's somewhere all the way that we can't feel him, we can't touch him. But the Bible says God actually breathed into us the very breath that he breathes. Come on, I want you to breathe. And I want you to realize you're breathing what God is breathing. See, when you breathe with the consciousness that that's God's breath, what begins to happen is you take in who he is in you. You're taking in his grace. You're taking in his peace. You're taking in his holiness. You're taking in his consciousness. That's why the Bible says that everything that has breath, praise him. That's why all you need is breath to praise him. I keep telling you that. Some of y'all are still waiting for that new job to come. No, praise him because the breath you're breathing is his, and you're sharing that breath with him. Come on. You don't need everything to be perfect to praise God. You're breathing, and he gave you his breath. And if you just remember that and realize, hey, I can walk with God because I'm breathing the same breath God is breathing with. That no matter what I'm faced with, I'm still aware that God is always with me. One more verse, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 8. You guys know this or should know this. Genesis 3, verse 8 says this. And they heard the sound. Everybody say the sound. The sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, hey, Adam, where are you? I want you to see this. This is in the beginning, right? This is in the Garden of Eden. This is before sin. This is before the fall. The Bible shows us that God and man walked together. The Bible says God came into the garden in the cool of the day, and they walked together. The Bible says, God, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. And Adam, unfortunately, this is after they sinned. Adam and his wife then hid themselves from the presence of God, who was coming into that garden every day to have fellowship with man. Man was created to have fellowship with God. Man was created to walk with God every day. Right? But here, how can two walk together unless they agree. So we know what happened here. Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, that was their disagreement. Their disobedience was their disagreement to God. And once they disagreed with God, they could no longer walk with him. So what happened is that when God said, Adam, where are you? The Bible says in verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself, verse 11, and he said, God said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? So now here it is. Adam now no longer saw himself the way God saw him. And because Adam no longer saw himself the way God saw him, he can no longer walk with him. Principle, if you want to walk with God, you must see yourself the way God sees you. I say it again. Write it down. If you want to walk with God, you must see yourself the way God sees you. Not the way you see yourself, the way God sees you. Because what's going to happen is if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, then you won't believe that you can do what God says you can do. And the problem with Adam and Eve was once their eyes were opened, there was a change of heart. Their vision changed. And when their vision changed, their priorities changed. Because the word of God was no longer their priority. Do you see the connection, vision, priority? Their vision changed. And because their vision changed, their priorities changed. Once their priorities changed, what was important to God was no longer important to them. And what was important to them was no longer God's importance. So here's how we're going to wrap up. I want you to just look at this next verse. Psalm 138. Jump back to the Psalms and we're done. Psalm 138. Because if we're going to ask God to give us the gift of reset, he's going to have to reset our vision. And he's going to have to reset our priorities. What did I say a priority is? A priority is that which you deem to be important. It's your treasure. It's what you value in your own heart.
we have to know what's God's priorities, or what is God's number one priority. Psalm 138, verse 1, read it. Let's read it together. We're going to read it together. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For thou hast magnified thy what? Word above what? All of thy name. See that word above? Above. That was magnified, that word above. That word above speaks of rank, right? It speaks of an order. It speaks of an arrangement that says that, okay, what comes before 3? 2, right? We don't ever, that never changes, right? The numerical order system never changes. It's 1 comes before 2, 2 becomes comes before 3, etc. Okay? It's extremely important you understand that God is a God of order. Now, God has stated about himself that he has magnified his word above his name. His word that's forever settled in heaven. There's one thing that he puts over his name, and that's his word. Now, how powerful is the name? Very powerful, right? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That the name is above every principality, his name is above every power, his name is above every ruler, rulers of darkness. His word is above every power, I mean his name. Yet and still, from God's standpoint, there's one thing he puts even above his name. And that's his word. So in the beginning was the what? Word. God's highest priority is his word. If you don't agree with his word, you can't agree with God. Why this is so important is this. See, you can have a name, but your name is only as reputable as your word. Right? That if you don't keep your word, then you're going to have a bad name. So God understands, if I'm going to keep people in reverence and awe of my name, then I have to be committed to my word to the highest standard. You see, and the power of believers is that we don't believe the word the way God believes in his own word. I'm out of time. I can't get any deeper than this. But we don't value the word. See, Jesus was the word. And he has the name above all names. But when he was tempted by the devil, he didn't tell the devil, devil, you know my name, back up. He didn't look to his name. He pointed to the word. Come on. He didn't walk in and like, put some respect on my name, devil. You know I have the name above every name. No. He used the word because he understood the priority of God. You want to know why the word is so important? Jesus even said that there will be people that will come in his name in the last days. People will come in his name and deceive many, which means the devil can counterfeit the name, but he can't counterfeit the word. Come on. The word. If you don't know the word, see, people are praying and having faith and they're believing God for stuff and they call on his name and they're wondering why it's not working because their lives are not aligned to the word. You can't force your way into the promises of God if you're in disagreement to it. You got to believe the word and stand on the word. And once you stand on that word, the word cannot return to him void, but it must accomplish what he set it out to do. Come on, there's only one thing that the devil is terrified of in your mouth, and that's the word of God. Hallelujah, I got to stop. See, this is where your breakthrough lies. I'll show you one more verse. Isaiah 55. Watch this. So shall our word, verse 11,
so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall what? Prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I'm going to give you this one last nugget. So if God says about his word that when he sends it out, it won't come back void, it will accomplish what he sets out to do, it shall prosper, then that means the bottom line of God is prosperity. In other words, if you want to know if a word is at work in your life, it's causing you to prosper. Prosperity is the indication that the word of God is at work in your life. Any area in your life that's suffering, that's failing, that's not prospering, more than likely it's not set on the word. But the word of God is designed to prosper in any circumstance. The word of God is designed to be fail-proof. It can't come back to God and say, God, it didn't work. No, the word won't come back to God until it works. Are you hearing me? So if you want to bring your life under order, you want to bring your life into a reset, and you want to come to a point where you say, all right, God, look at those areas. I want you to personally do this. Look at the areas in your life. You know where you are in your life. You know the issues you got going on. You know what's working, what's not working. And I want you to step back and say to yourself today, where in my life have I been building apart from the word of God? God wants to reset your marriages today. God wants to reset your businesses. God wants to bring reset into your finances. God wants to bring order into our lives. But it starts when we align, when we walk together with God and say, God, I'm going to take your word and I'm going to live according to it. God told Joshua, he said, if you be strong and you're courageous and you take my word and you don't allow it to depart from your mouth, but you meditate on it day and night, what's going to happen? So shall you make your way prosperous. Notice that the Bible says that Joshua will make his way prosperous. How? By taking the word and running with it. So as we close, the heart of God for his people today is that if you hearken diligently to his word, you don't compromise on this book, the word of God. If you don't compromise on this word, if you don't doubt, deny, demote, downplay, downtrodden this book, and deny its reality as the inspired word of God, if you take it, if you take this book and you run with it and say, God, I'm going to apply my heart to this book. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to chew on it. I'm going to soak in it. I'm going to allow my heart to become fully consumed by it. What begins to happen is it's impossible for you to fail in life because the word will prosper you. God wants his word to prosper you. That he wants the word to become flesh in you. Don't ask him to pray if you don't obey the word. My first counseling sessions, I say, all right, this is the word. Do you believe it? No, I have nothing else to say to you. Because you're not going to prosper any other way. God doesn't change. His word is settled. Right? Do we agree on that? So if we agree on that, we can walk together, God says. And as we live our lives into the reality of the promise of God, and we take this word and we decide to say, God, I'm going to walk with you by walking according to your word. And I'm going to find areas in my life where I can keep applying this word over and over and over again. It shall manifest. It shall bring forth fruit. It shall cause me to prosper. It shall cause my bank account to prosper. It shall cause my marriage to prosper. It shall cause me to prosper in any city. I don't got to move to Georgia to prosper. I don't got to move to Atlanta to prosper. I don't got to move to Florida to prosper. I can prosper in any city because he said, if I obey him, I'll be blessed in the city and I'll be blessed in the field. I'll be blessed in the city. I'll be blessed in the suburbs. It doesn't matter where I go, church. It doesn't matter where you move to. If you disobey the word, you still won't prosper.
Let's all stand. Malachi 3, I started there, right? Look at what happened. You just know Malachi 3. Yeah, you guys hear it. We always talk about tithing from that. But look at the verse before that. He said, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I don't change, and therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. Yet from the days of your fathers you've gone away from my word and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. So God was telling these people to return to him by asking them to return to the word. Return to setting their heart's desire on living according to the word. Not according to their feelings, their opinions, their emotions, but the word. And God said, if you return to me and I'll return to you, then God will prosper us, said the Lord. But you said, in what way shall we return? Then he talks about what they failed to do with the tithing issue, that they were robbing God. Because they knew what they were supposed to do and they didn't do it. All right? So what I want you guys to do is just lift up our hands together.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.